True story took place back in the state of Michigan, back in the 1940s. It's quite a while back. But a man was serving a life sentence in a federal penitentiary there for murder, and he was a very hardened criminal. And as the warden was leaving the prison for Christmas, just get outside the main door, and he noticed the movement down along the wall of the prison. And when he went to investigate, he found a small girl there, very scantily clad. And as he went over to investigate, she wanted to go in and see her dad, who was in prison. And the warden said, "Listen, I'm on my way home for Christmas. Why don't you just go home?" And she said, "If you were in there as a prisoner and I was your little girl, would you not want to see me?" And he said, "I guess so." So he took her in. And they brought this hardened criminal up from his cell. And when he saw his daughter, he yelled for her to get out of there. But she brought him a gift that changed his life. And her mother had died a few months before the visit. And her little brother had died just weeks before she went in. And just before they buried her little brother, when no one was at the funeral home, she sneaked up and snipped off a little piece of his hair, a little curl of his hair, wrapped it up in a gift, wrapped it up, put a ribbon on it, took it into him. And when he opened it and saw what it was, he broke down, he began to weep, and he asked God to forgive him. He came to faith in Jesus Christ in that prison, and later on was paroled. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I found that little gospel track on a sidewalk before I came to faith in Christ myself. And I took it home and said to my wife, "I want you to file this away. I'm going to write a song about it someday." And we never seemed to be able to find the track. I wrote the song as best I knew how from the initial reading, and then someone found the little gospel track for me. I want to share that song with you this morning. It's just a bit of a recitation, but it's a powerful, powerful message of how a hardened life can be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me see if I can do it here. We're all decked up here with iPads and iPhones and maybe eye miscues. It was Christmas time in prison, and I was the governor back then. The walls around the frozen ground, while they held 700 men. I started home when I noticed the movement down along the wall. I yelled, "Who's there?" But no answer came. So once again I called. In the snow, I found this little girl, no more than 8 years old. The coat she wore had been worn before, and her shoes were full of holes. She said, "My name is Nellie, and you gave me such a scare. But Mr. Governor, you got my daddy locked up inside of there." She said, "I haven't seen my daddy in such a long, long time. And I'd like to wish him Merry Christmas. Just once, if you don't mind." So I took her in and I told the guards, "Bring all 37 in." Never had a more vicious man been locked inside our pen. You see, all 37 was more than feared by every guard that worked the pen. He was doing life for murder, and somehow they knew he'd kill again. Well, we brought him in, and he turned and yelled, "Nellie, get out of here." He looked at me, and I could see his eyes were filled with fear.
And she said, Merry Christmas, Daddy. You sure looking well. I asked a man if he'd bring me in so I could see you in your cell. She said, I guess they told you that Mommy died 2 months ago today. And the neighbors placed pretty flowers all around Mommy's grave. She told me to care for Jimmy. And Daddy, I really tried. But Jimmy got pneumonia. And Daddy, last week, Jimmy died. Oh, you should have seen him, Daddy. Why, he never even cried. He just said, tell Daddy, I'll be waiting in heaven. And he closed his big blue eyes. The day before the funeral, I hid in the flowers until no one else was there. Then I walked up and kissed his tiny forehead, and I cut off a piece of Jimmy's hair. And that's why I'm here today, Daddy. I guess God heard my prayer. Merry Christmas, Daddy. Here's a piece of Jimmy's hair. Well, old 37 just broke down and cried. He said, God, I hope you'll forgive. Because this little girl is all I have left in this world. And she needs the love her daddy can give. He said, Mr. Governor, I want to thank you for bringing Nellie in out of the cold. And Mr. Governor, would you keep Nellie with you while I work towards my parole? Now, my mind goes back to the story in the Bible where the good shepherd lost one of his sheep until it was found and brought back safe and sound. Not once did that shepherd sleep. And tonight will be a great Christmas in my life because someone knows the shepherd still cares. Because tonight, another sheep was found, a piece of Jimmy's head. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22 this morning, please. Genesis chapter 22. I certainly have enjoyed my time here, and we've had some real great fellowship and working with this technological wizard here, getting all the sermons up on the internet. I was skeptical about the internet many years ago. I used to say that he-mail finds she-mail by email and gets derailed. And the book of Genesis, in the story of Abraham. Let's read, please, this morning, beginning in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which Abraham had told him of, God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram, and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now you notice as you go to the next portion. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea, on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Tremendous blessing mentioned here to Abraham in these last verses of the chapter. We're going to go back a little bit in a few moments and find out something stood in the way of the blessing that needed to be dealt with. God would ask Abraham to remove that which stood between him and the blessing, and it would be a difficult thing. I want to share with you this morning a message that has been a deep, unbelievable burden of my heart. It's called Laying Your Isaacs Down. Laying Your Isaacs Down. A few weeks back, I went back to the old homestead where I grew up as a boy, and we videotaped my testimony on the farm where we grew up poor, extremely poor. People beat up on us and put us down. And I went back to give my testimony. I stood there with a camera. I had a remote control. And in a small community, you know what happens? I'm out there talking to a camera, and all of the neighbors think the guy is crazy next door. He's standing there talking to a pole. And cars would stop, and people would look at me, and I was trying to concentrate on what I was doing. And finally, I went back to all the old fishing holes where my dad and I fished, and we videotaped all this footage that will be in the background of my testimony. But you know what? When I got home on Tuesday, and I went to prayer meeting Wednesday night, and I got up Thursday morning, and I'm on my way to my office to study, and God began to lay some things on my heart. And I felt like I went back to Abraham, back in the year of the Chaldees with my video camera. It was just like it unfolded like that. And I followed him as if he's on a double hump camel and I'm right behind him, videotaping the events that took place. Let me see if I can give you a brief summary of them. God came to Abraham, and he met God personally. He had a personal experience. He met God. He came to saving faith in God along the way. But God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your country, your place, to go to a land that I'm going to give you. And so here's this blessing. I'm going to send a Savior through your line.
I'm going to make a great nation, Abraham. He just laid the blessing out before him. But it seems along the journey, there was always something getting between Abraham and the blessing. And it does for us too. And as if this morning, I want to go down and give the pastor $1,000 and Bo keeps getting in front of him. And he, every time I move to the side, Bo moves to the side. And I move to the other side, Bo moves to the other side. I want to get this in his hands because he has a need, but there's something in the way. Get rid of Bo. Put him on the altar. Tie him up, whatever, so we can get the blessing to the pastor. Well, Abraham was like that. You know, the first thing that got in his way was his father. As they began to leave, they spent a number of years stalled because of his father. His father was in the way of the blessing. And when his father died, Abraham started on the journey again. When he came into the land, something else stood there. There was famine in the land. There was enemies in the land. And Abraham, instead of staying there and trusting God, went down into Egypt. There's something between him and the land. It's a place called Egypt. Now Abraham leaves and comes back up out of Egypt, and he's got his nephew with him, Lot's with him. And there, it says in Genesis that there was a feud between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. They were fighting. And Abraham had to say to Lot, you choose what you want and I'll take what's left. He had to get Lot from between him and the blessing. When you come to the previous chapter, chapter 21, Hagar comes on the scene. Abraham is aging and Sarah is getting old. And where is this promise? Where is this child that's going to make a great nation? And Sarah said, why don't you go in onto the maid and see if we can help God along a little bit? And so they did that. And a child was born, Ishmael. Ishmael stands between now the blessing and the promise of God. And finally, Sarah will say to Abraham when Isaac is born, you get rid of Ishmael. I saw him mocking my boy. Get rid of him. Now, this was Abraham's son, but it wasn't Sarah's son. And you read back in chapter 21 how it grieved Abraham to give up Ishmael. You imagine? You have married and your wife has a child and brings that into the relationship, and then you have a child together and your wife says to you, get rid of that child. That would be something that would rip the heart out of you. But Abraham did, and he got rid of Ishmael. Then he lies to the Philistine leader. This is not my wife, this is my sister. And there's a dispute between him and the Philistines. And you'll find out that at the end of the closing verses in chapter 21 that he makes it right with the Philistines. Now Abraham is in a place of blessing. He's in a place in Beersheba and things are going good. But at the end of chapter 22 there's this unbelievable blessing hanging out. But there's something standing between Abraham and that blessing, and it's a boy by the name of Isaac. And you know that when you have a child when you're 100 years of age, and your wife is 90 years of age, that child is a special child. And Abraham loved that boy. I don't think he ever escaped Abraham's eyes for any length of time. And he wormed his way into Abraham's heart. And now God is beginning to realize there's something growing in Abraham's heart that is standing between him and the blessing. And he will ask God to sacrifice the boy. Abraham was dwelling in Beersheba. Do you know where Beersheba is? Beersheba is a border town. They measured the land from Dan to the north to Beersheba. Beersheba was the southern border. Abraham, although blessed, although would have peace in his heart, who would have all the things in life that he needed, was living in a border town. Listen, child of God, this morning, we should not live on the border of the Christian life. And I'll tell you why. I live in a border town in Woodstock, New Brunswick. Houlton, Maine is a border town. We can throw a rock from one another. But you know what? I'm a bit of a hunter. I don't do much hunting now since I got saved because I can't use a flashlight anymore. But I used to love to hunt the border. I don't know if you've ever been on the border between Maine and New Brunswick, but it probably is about as wide as here to the wall, one side of the church. It just stretches out, and every mile there's a marker. It's a cement pad with a little pencil type thing that comes up so high. And I used to love to go out there and sit on that piece of cement, put my back up against that little thing, and watch the deer come out on the border. But I always faced the problem. What if the deer comes up from the New Brunswick side, and I shoot him, and he runs across, and he dies in the state of Maine? What am I going to do? Whose deer is it? It's my deer because I shot him on New Brunswick side. And I said, okay, so I'll do that. That's my rule. Then I thought, what if a deer sticks his head out and he just happens to be a trophy buck and he's standing on the Maine side of the border and I shoot him on the Maine side and he runs across and dies in New Brunswick? He must be my deer still because where he dies is important. You know, my problem is I'm too close to the border. And here's what I did one day. I stepped on the very middle of the border. I said, Maine, New Brunswick. Maine, New Brunswick. You know what happens? We get saved and God saves us by faith. And we enjoy this Christian life and we have privileges. And we keep wandering farther from God and say, is it okay to do this and still be a Christian? Is it okay to do this? And finally, I am out to the border of grace. And the next step is into sin. And things begin to come into my heart and life that stand between me and God pouring out His blessing upon my life. And Abraham had... and Isaac. He was in Beersheba. And God asked him to leave and go up to Mount Moriah. You know, Moriah was about 2,500 feet above sea level. And Beersheba is about 50. It's going to be all uphill for 3 days for Abraham to deal with the Isaacs in his life. Laying our Isaacs down. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I pray in the next few moments you'd speak to our hearts like you haven't in a long time, the preacher included. God, you have worked me over with this portion of Scripture a lot. And I pray that some of what I've gleaned might be a help to someone else. And so this morning, have your way in our hearts. If there's anybody not sure of heaven, help them to make sure this morning. As we, as your children, live for you and we wander farther and farther away from the fold until we're on the very border and in great danger of stepping into sin. And we have those things in our life, Lord, that somehow, without us even being conscious of it, sneak in, that become objects of our affection to the point where it becomes very, very dangerous that we develop another God other than you. Help us, our Father, this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I see in this passage this morning a child of God, Abraham, facing a challenge of challenges. I can understand that. I have 9 grandchildren. I can't imagine little Liam, who turned 6 2 days ago. And I prayed for him before he was conceived. God would give us another preacher in the family. I'm a preacher. My son is a preacher. And it's my son's boy. God, give us another generation if you're going to tarry with someone to proclaim the gospel. And Matt phoned and said that Emily was with child. I said, it will be a boy. And he said, how do you know, Dad? I said, I just know. And then they confirmed it, that it was going to be a boy. And I said to Matt, you put your hands on her little tummy and pray over her. That when... he is in the presence of God, the baby will jump in the womb like John the Baptist did in Elizabeth's womb in the presence of Mary carrying Jesus. Every Sunday morning when the preacher would preach, Liam would start kicking inside the womb. You see him sometimes with his little New Testament in his room. Rah, 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 rah. Turn to number 322, please, this morning. You're going to be a preacher.
And someday God says, I want you to sacrifice him. Boy, that rip and tear on a father's heart, on a grandfather's heart. A.W. Tozer said about Abraham in his book, The Pursuit of God, from the moment he first took the tiny form awkwardly in his arms, Abraham was an eager love slave to his son. God went out of the way to comment on the strength of his affection. It's not hard to understand. The baby represented everything sacred to his father's heart. The promises of God, the covenants, the hopes of the years, and along with that, the messianic dream. As he watches him grow from babyhood to young manhood, the heart of the old man was knit closer and closer to the life of his son, to the point where that last relationship bordered upon the perilous. It was then that God stepped in to save both father and son from the consequences of non-cleansed love. I have a few points this morning. First of all, there was a test. And when something creeps into my life that begins to dethrone the God of heaven, there will be a test that will reveal that to me. And in Abraham's case, it happened later in his life. I've learned this, that Satan is a pirate. Doesn't bother with you early in your Christian life. If you're not doing anything for God, he's not going to give you any grief. He's a pirate. He doesn't attack an empty ship. He lets you build your ministry. He lets you build your marriage until it's 40 years old. Then he wants to take it down. There's more glory in him. And so Abraham has had a wonderful life following God. He has a boy now. And then the test. So later in life, he should have been maybe looking at pension, Social Security, a little nest egg to hatch when the test comes. The heart had grown deeply attached to Isaac. You don't always get a warning when the test comes. It comes quickly sometimes. There was a test. It says in verse 1, it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That was not a temptation in terms of a solicitation to do something wrong. It was a test from God. Temptation comes from the devil. And there, secondly, there was a trust here. God speaks in verse 1. Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. He responds, here I am. Verse 2, he's told what to do. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. See, God is saying, you love him, but it's growing to an unhealthy love, Abraham. Take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains. And I like what it says in verse 3. Abraham rose up early. I think I would have slept in that morning as long as I could before I would leave on that journey. But Abraham rose up early. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. It would be Abraham's deepest valley he ever faced in his life with God. And it would also be Abraham's greatest victory. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, by faith, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And James tells me this, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac upon the altar? For the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham had faced a few trials before. He'd been called by God to leave his home and forsake his family to go to this land that God was going to show him. And so now there's another test. Go to Mount Moriah. I will show you. And the trust now is in God somehow. Take your son, Moriah, 50 miles above sea level, 2,500 feet up. I wondered as I sat on the back of the camel with Abraham in my video camera, as I was trying to imagine this and get a picture of it, your thoughts would be churning.
I think I would have said this: God, I'm an old man. Take the old man, leave the boy. And you're wrestling with God, and you've got 3 days to turn around if you want to. 3 days to change your mind. But His trust, He comes and He says to the men, you stay here. We're going to go worship and we'll come back. Do you see, we'll come back with faith. I don't understand it. He says, I'm to slay my son, but He's promised me that a Messiah will come through my life. And if I kill this boy, then He's going to have to raise him up. So we're going to go ahead. Abraham's trial certainly showed Abraham's trust. And I find it this morning, dear family of God gathered here, it's easier to give up your Ishmaels than it is your Isaacs. Ishmaels are a little easier to let go, painful, but a little easier. But the Isaacs tear the heart out of you. I love my wife. We've been married 41 years. A few years back, somehow, my wife got between me and God without me even realizing it. And a very rare liver disease came to my wife, where she hung between the balances of life and death for 13 years. The turning point was in my kitchen one Friday morning. I got my kids off to school. She's in the hospital. She's near death. I'm now going to the hospital. And I walked back in my kitchen and I wept before the Lord. Lord, I don't understand this. Why? What am I going to do? She goes, I have 3 small children. What will I do? Busy ministry. God, through His Spirit, impressed upon my heart, I'm too holy and too righteous to make a mistake. This is for your good. And I remember saying, God, I don't know any safer place to put her than in your hands. And I did. And we became aware she hadn't been in the hospital for a week. And then it was 2 weeks. And then it was 2 months. And now it has been more than 10 years. I laid my Isaac down and got my Isaac back. But nowhere near the attachment that was there before. God has His rightful place. My grandson, Christian Michael, was to move to Ohio. It was a situation, his home broke up. He's with his mom, she's taking him to Ohio. We know it's not going to be a good move for him. We have practically raised this boy. Now he's leaving. I met him at his grandparents. I gave him a little gift of money to hide in his sock. I gave him several portions of scripture. You will need this, sidekick. He's a younger kid. And I said, I don't know any safer place to put you than in God's hands. I'm laying my Isaac down. And I didn't hear. I had a phone number for Ohio where he would be going. And so I called after 4 or 5 days to see how he was doing. And they said, there's no Christian Michael here. I said, this was the number I was given. He never got here. He never got across the border. They were stopped at the border because of paperwork. And he came back. I laid my Isaac down. I got it back. Sometimes our Isaacs are people. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes it's a wife. Sometimes it's a child. Sometimes my Isaacs are possessions. I have a Martin guitar at home. Every guitar player wants to have a Martin guitar. This is a better one that I'll tell you about later. I came home from the road and I owed a $500 bill. And I have two guitars. And I said to God, if you want me to sell my Martin guitar this afternoon, I'm doing a concert. And when I finish the concert, you have someone come up to me and say, do you know where I can find an old Martin guitar for sale? And I'll know I'm supposed to sell it. I just stepped off the platform after I did my half hour music. And a man came up and said, do you know where I could find an old Martin guitar for sale? I said, follow me. Took him out, opened the case, showed it to him. How much would you give me for that guitar? He said, it's worth a fortune, but all I can afford is $500. I said, it's yours. And he took it. And as he walked away, I felt the tears flowing down my cheeks because that old guitar was a pretty special possession to me. My boys called. They were appalled to find out what I did. Mom, call the guy who bought it. Get an option on it. We'll try to get it back for Dad. He can't give that away. Written all those songs with that guitar. He can't do that. I think it was 2 years ago, I was on my way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. I take my gear in over Christmas and my guitars, and I had them touched up and fixed up and repaired and before I go back on the road again. And the man who bought my guitar said, I'd like to meet you in a place that was an hour out of my way. I did not want to go an hour out of my way. But I did. And I stopped in the coffee shop with George Spalding. And it was general chit-chat, and he said, I have something for you. And he reached behind his seat, and he brought out my Martin guitar, and he gave it back to me. I said, how much, George? He said, no charge. I got my Isaac back. I used to hold that old Martin guitar like this. Nobody will play this. Now I hold it like this. You want to play it? You go ahead. I don't have the same affection for it. God purged those Isaacs out of my heart. I preached in my home church last week. And I preached on this portion. And I said, God, Abraham, 3 days' journey to come to grips with the Isaac before I stand before anybody and preach. Show me my Isaacs. And God would bring something to my mind and I'd get down on my knees and say, oh God, I didn't even know that was there. Forgive me. The little church I'm in was a church I pastored back in 1984 for 5 years. My son just finished pastoring it. I've been there all those years. I stayed around and I tell people, new pastors, if you don't want me here, I'll leave. So we've been there. I'm coming down to the front of the church on Sunday morning when God said, this church is your Isaac. And I want you to lay it down. I love my church. I love my church family. It's a sacred spot. And I stood at the front of the church and said, if God wants to close this place up, so be it. If he wants to triple it in size and use me, so be it. But I'm laying my Isaac down. And I wept for a few minutes at the front of our church and I said to our people, I'm free. I'm free. Whatever blessing is out there, there ain't nothing between me and it now. But there has been. Do you know that God wants to pour out his blessing upon your life? Do you know that God wants to use you this morning? But there may be an Isaac that is standing between you and the blessing. Well, you may not be in any trouble. You may not even be in any kind of sin. And you've got food on the table and clothes on the back and you got a job. Abraham had that too. But you read between the end of chapter 21 and the end of chapter 22, when Isaac was removed, the blessing was poured out.
I don't know if you're on YouTube or not, but you can look at the song when you get home today, because I found the song after I started this. I will lay my Isaacs down. I have music. Probably was an idol in my life. I came to know the Lord Jesus. I was playing lead guitar in a band. And God asked me to give up my music. And I did. Never played for a long time. Until I got my priorities straightened out, God said, why don't you do some music? I said, I don't really want to anymore. That's good. Now we can do something. And our music has played in 40 countries around the world on radio. We have sold something like 40,000 copies of our CDs. I stand amazed at that. Do you know what happened? I laid my Isaac down and I got my Isaac back. Abraham laid him down. And God stopped him and put a substitute there for him. Abraham walked back with his Isaac, but God was in his rightful place in Abraham's heart. Abraham prayed for the day God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed, God would say, get him to me. And on this mountain you will prove, it's you and Isaac, or it's me and you. When I lay my Isaac down, brokenhearted, but my father's proud. On this altar here he lays, just to find it wasn't him, God wanted me. Most of us, I dare to say, have an Isaac in God's way. On the altar, God will prove it's not your Isaac he wants. God wants you. That's the song. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning for me. We have to deal with our Isaacs publicly, in one sense. But oh, how gracious God is. Abraham came with his men to a point. Publicly, he's dealing with his Isaac. But privately, he leaves the man behind and takes a step forward where it's only Abraham dealing with his Isaac. He left where he was to go forward and upward. Laying down your Isaacs, I think, requires a public decision. But you don't have to tell anybody what your Isaac is. You can just come here and say, God, here it is. Whether it's fear in your heart, or jealousy, or sin, or you're not even saved, and it's sin that stands between you and the blessing of God, God will save you this morning. You come. Moriah was the place where the temple would be built, where forgiveness would be extended for many years. It's the place where Jesus would be crucified. I want you to come this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, as I did, and lay your Isaac down. Lay him down. And you will leave a different person. There was a test. And there was a trust. But there was a triumph. Listen to it. After the angel of the Lord called Abraham, verse 17, blessing, I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned unto his men. He rose up, went back to Beersheba with his Isaac. My son is leaving the ministry, taking all of our grandkids all the way across the country. I had to go back and live through Mount Moriah and let him go. Maybe this morning it's my job that's my Isaac. Maybe it's my gambling addiction. Maybe it's my business ventures. Maybe it's the sports in my life. Maybe it's my bank account. Maybe it's some hidden sin that nobody knows about. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's my grandchild, my car, my tractor, my musical ability, my house, my farm. I want you to lay it down this morning. There was a treasure. The child was a treasure. It was a test. There was a trust in God through it, and there was a triumph. When you lay your Isaac down, I want to read a verse that will be your life. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That's freedom. That's freedom. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand. Pastor Dave's here. Ask us if we'd be honest enough this morning to come and lay our Isaacs down and walk away different. It could be the very turning point in the life, our own lives, our homes, our marriages, our church. Lay your Isaac down. Let's pray. Father, what a refreshing and yet convicting portion of Scripture. Thank you so much for dealing with my own heart. Lord, I sometimes don't like when I have to live what I preach. Oh, but the sweet presence of God and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, unhindered now, free to go forward in the blessing of God. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. It's not easy to trudge up to Mount Moriah. It's never easy to come forward. Thank you for laying this out in such a way that we don't have to worry about shame and embarrassment here. Abraham made it public, and yet there was a sense in which it was private. Would you just help some people to come this morning so that we can just pray together here at the front? Nobody has to know who the Isaac is, but the Isaac will be left here at the front when we leave. If there's someone not saved, help them to see the great love of God that you have for them, that it's sin that stands between them and the blessing of eternal life. But Lord, you took upon them, on yourself, that sin for them, because you love them, and you love us, Lord. And you shed your blood so that the sin could be paid for. And you were buried, and you rose from the dead, so that when we, by simple faith, not our baptism or our good life or church membership, our faith in you and what you've done, we are saved, and the blessing begins to flow. Lord, this morning, if there's someone not saved, help them to come, whether it's a young person or an older person, and get saved. Help us as your people to lay our Isaacs down this morning. Not so that we can live miserable, but we may have the full blessing of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.